AOPA reacts to the USA Today hit piece, A Few Minutes with Chris Dancy. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. By now, you've heard all about last week's article in USA Today and its companion segment on NBC's Today Show, painting general aviation as a plaything of the wealthy and characterizing GA small airports as conveniences for corrupt politicians and unworthy of federal aid for capital improvements. Friday, we brought you comments from EAA's Tom Poberesny. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell gets reaction from Chris Dancy of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association.
For those of us in the general aviation community who like a cup of coffee and a morning paper still, despite the move to electronic means, the story about what was the quote-unquote value of funding for general aviation airports has appeared in USA Today, and now, of course, the news piece that's appearing on NBC comes as not only a shock, but a disquieting shock. Let's look at how this piece came together, and we're speaking with Chris Dancy from AOPA. Chris, you took a call from one of the writers of the USA Today piece that seemed to indicate that somebody was trying to do their job and research this carefully.
Yeah, we got a call. Actually, we got a call that told us that this story was in the works, and we reached out to USA Today, to the reporter who did the story, Tom Frank, asked him if there was anything that we could do to help, and he called us back a couple days later. This would have been early this past week, and said that yes, he'd like to talk to us. Would I be willing to talk to him? So we spent about a half hour on the phone talking about federal funding for general aviation airports, about why it's of benefit to the entire country, not just to those of us who have earned our pilot certificates. And sort of had a feeling that while it might not be a particular positive story for us, based on the questions, that it was being well researched and was going to take our side of the story into account.
This was not a short conversation, was it?
It was about a half hour on the phone with him, and this is someone I've spoken to before, so I know that there's a general basic level of information there, of knowledge.
Understood. Now, just to preface this, as I understand it, you were the first to reach out to them rather than vice versa.
Yes. After we had learned that they were working on a story, we called them, offered AOPA's services, if we had any information that we could help them with. As I said, he said he was interested. He was working on another story that particular day and said he would call us back and did.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit about the tone and content of the information that was imparted over the course of 30 minutes?
Yeah, on my part, it was, it was really an effort to explain the value of AIP funding for general aviation. We talked about how it's a national system of air carrier airports and general aviation airports, that it all fits together. We talked a little bit about the National Plan of Integrated Air Services, known in inimitable FAAEs as the NIPIAS, but how an O'Hare or a Kennedy is definitely an important part, but so is a Frederick Municipal Airport where we're located, or Jabara in Kansas City, or that these general aviation airports are as vital a part of the system as any off-ramp from any interstate anywhere in the country. Airports are vital to the aviation system. We talked about, one of the questions he asked was, why does Congress support these? And I pointed out to him that virtually every congressional district has a general aviation airport in it. The congressmen and their constituents recognize the value of the airports, and therefore see to it that they can be funded.
So it sounds like this was a pretty substantial effort on your part, and certainly a lot of information imparted.
Yes, it did not go so much into dollars and cents type information, statistical information, but discussions of the, you know, the value of general aviation and why. It was more tone and just a discussion of why it's important.
Well, the problem obviously occurs, though, in that it appears you wasted your time. I hate to put it that way.
Well, the fact that we're not even mentioned in there, it was a little bit surprising. At the end of the conversation, I thought, you know, my feeling was that I had done everything I could to, based on the questions he was asking, explain why there is value in funding general aviation. Why then in the story, you know, they would focus on the general aviation funding with absolutely no mention of how much AIP funding goes to the airlines, was just really surprising.
We're now at a point now where we're pushed into a reactive posture. Whatever could have been done at that point is at this point it's Monday morning quarterbacking, because obviously they told the story that they wanted to tell and we're dealing with it now. How does this industry put together a proper response? Because one, it was a one-sided story that wasn't even told well from that one side. And two, there was no sense of balance whatsoever from the standpoint of even any counterfact, or for that matter, even corrective fact on some of the assumptions that were made that were not based on any factual evidence whatsoever.
Well, in addition to putting up something, putting some information out there for our members, who obviously were every bit as incensed as we were, and you know, and as you were by this story, you know, we explained to them what we tried to do. We gave them factual information, but while that response for our members was being formulated, we were talking to the other general aviation associations, to EAA, to NATA, NBAA, GAMA. You know, we were talking to all of them, trying to figure out where we, you know, how we were each going to approach it, and each of us on our own developing our statements on the story. So, you know, we've all moved quickly to try to get our side of the story out there, and then are also looking at, you know, what other options may be available, whether it's talking to friends on Capitol Hill or, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, we at AOPA certainly are looking at all the options available to us, and in talking to the other associations, we know that they're, you know, they're doing the same thing as well. The one hope that we have, and this is based on, you know, experience from years in the journalism industry, is this is probably not going to be a story with a great deal of pickup. Now, that doesn't mean we drop the issue by any means, but, you know, we're hopeful that basically not a lot of other news organizations are going to pick up on this. In fact, a lot of what we did see as we looked at other coverage around the country were local markets that had gone out, done their own look at funding at their local airports, and were reporting how valuable that money was to the community. We saw a story in Stockton, California, saw one in Nashville, Tennessee, Asbury Park, all stories that showed how important this money was to the local community. So it's, you know, it's a case where there's a disconnect between this national perspective, so to speak, presented by USA Today, and the local realities reported by community papers around the country.
More with ANN's Jim Campbell and Chris Dancy of AOPA in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. ANN's Jim Campbell is talking with AOPA's Chris Dancy about last week's USA Today story, which misrepresented general aviation and small airports. GA interests are understandably outraged. But now, the question becomes,
so what do we as a community do about it? And I realize that's such a loaded question, especially coming from somebody else in the journalism community.
I'm going to choose to treat your question as what do we in the aviation community do about it. One of the things that AOPA has done and continues to do in collaboration with a lot of other associations in the industry is the General Aviation Serves America campaign. A portion of that campaign is, you know, a grassroots effort to place stories that explain to the non-flying public the value of general aviation. But the larger part of the GA Serves America campaign is to reach out to, you know, the decision makers, the opinion leaders, and the people who influence those people, and really drive home to them why general aviation is important to the country. What the individual members of the community can do is, you know, help carry that same message to their local influencers, whether they're the city council members, the airport board members, the county council, you know, people who can influence decisions, who make decisions and can influence them in the local community, make sure they know what the value of general aviation is.
Well, part of the problem, I think, is that to a certain extent, a lot of the community feels powerless, and we constantly are caught up in this reactionary cycle of somebody says something bad about us, and we've got to come back with, oh, yeah, and by which time the damage is primarily done. There's this question of whether or not the industry et al. Needs to be far more proactive and deal with these information providers as well as decision makers more aggressively on the front end rather than having to react to the mistakes they make on the back end.
To the extent that we're able to do that, to the extent that we, you know, that we hear about stories either from, you know, the information providers reaching out to us, or you know, of us learning that they're working on a story, that is something that we do try to do. We do try to get it in front of stories. We try not to be reactive. You're right. By the time you're in a reactive mode, much of the damage is done. You know, then it's a case of trying to contain or limit or contradict the damage that's been done. To the extent that we can, whenever we know that a story is being done, for our part, we do reach out to the reporter. We make sure that they know that we're here as a resource for them, for, you know, that we have information that can make their story better. You know, and that is something, honestly, that everyone can do, you know, at, you know, at the local level. You know, if you hear of a reporter doing a story, if you know a reporter doing a story about a local airport, don't be afraid to make sure that they've got the information. If, you know, if you're not comfortable talking to the reporter, we at AOPA are. EAA has people available. NBAA, you know, feel free to refer those people, those reporters, to the associations. You know, it is better to be out in front of the story, and you know, we do everything in our power to get in front. You know, the sad fact is, for not just us, but for almost any industry, you're about 70 or 80% reactive, 20 or 30% proactive, just because, you know, a lot of times you don't know that a reporter's working on a story until it's published.
Well, I have to imagine for the folks who work the PR aspects or media relations aspect with the various associations, folks like yourself or Dick Nowitzki over at EAA or Dan Hubbard over at NBAA and Katie Pribble at Gamma and so many others, that it's moments like this when you just kind of want to walk up against a wall and bang your head against it a couple times so that it just, so that something will at least give you a proper reaction. It does about as much good because, I mean, you put 30 minutes into this, you made the contact. How immense is the sense of disappointment when this kind of tripe comes out?
It's very disappointing. I mean, you know, we do everything we can, and you know, there's always this hope, this expectation that the reporters are going to provide provide their audience with fair and balanced information. That may be a naive hope, but as someone who came out of the industry, who believes that there's value in the journalism industry, it never goes away. So, you know, in that respect, you know, there's always the hope. And then when you see stories that just are so slanted, a great sense of disappointment, both in myself and in the product.
Alrighty, well, I guess we're all going to get on to reacting to the news of the day. God help us all. And we thank you for your time.
You're very welcome, Jim.
Jim Campbell is ANN's editor-in-chief. Chris Dancy handles media relations for the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Look online at www.aopa.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.